Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
My Weird Prompts is an AI-generated podcast produced by Daniel Rosehill, a verified human with documentation to prove it. While every effort is made to ensure our AI hosts draw from credible sources and run on cutting-edge models, they do occasionally make things up with alarming confidence. As with everything in life, and especially this podcast, treat all claims as spurious until confirmed to be not. Daniel, Herman and Korn accept no responsibility for any decisions made based on the confident ramblings of our artificial presenters. Now, today's episode.
Hello there, Herman and Korn. So I'd love to talk today about something a little bit more general than the recent discussions about very specific parts of the AI picture, and that is regarding voice technology. I mentioned a few times that it's about 12 months or so, 13 months now actually, since I became really enthusiastic about speech technology. And I've mentioned multiple times, but I'll repeat myself, that it was something I kind of dabbled in now and again, and maybe because I use Linux, the tech just wasn't really that good. And when I saw that Whisper was really, really effective, it just opened up a new way of typing and getting information into a computer for me. So I initially began recording voice notes as just ways of capturing information like blog notes, email notes, notes to myself, shopping lists, grocery lists, you know, you name it, it was anything I would record. And the accuracy was really, really good. From there, I got into voice typing, discovered that there's apps that can, it's been a feature in Google Docs for a while, but the accuracy wasn't brilliant. And this is where OpenAI Whisper, I found, has really pushed the envelope and brought the accuracy from a point that makes it a kind of high potential but frustrating technology to something that is 100% usable. So I discovered a very good Chrome extension called Blabby, Whisper AI by, I think the company is Blabby, and began using that all the time, and then began looking for something on my Android, found a keyboard app for that. And once I had all those components in place, I kind of moved over to a pretty much voice-centric workflow. And what I'm curious about is, I guess growing up, my association of sort of people who use voice technology would have been kind of your maybe a high achieving lawyer, you know, using one of those kind of goofy headsets in the back of a, being driven around in a limousine, or maybe kind of a secretarial pool. And the user base, I think when I'd sort of look at the moment, I'm looking for a nice desktop microphone for dictation. I've kind of gone through a few, tried out a few of my microphones, and none kind of really get that kind of quite specific thing you need for a dictation microphone, which is a specific, quite forgiving pickup pattern and decent sensitivity. So I think I'm going to get one specific. And I'm looking, you know, looking at these kind of voice tech websites, and they're quite intriguing. I'm talking about specialist suppliers of dictation microphones and USB foot pedals that are really kind of squarely marketed at this audience. And they have some really cutting edge microphones, but, you know, also some graphics that kind of do conjure back those images of the traditional users of voice tech. So what I'm really curious to know is, as Whisper is bringing voice technology to, I think, a lot more people like me have discovered it, and my daily workload is nothing to do with the traditional type of people I would have thought of as heavy users of voice tech. I'm not a radiologist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I use it actually for recording lengthy development prompts, which are prompts, actually, for that matter, what the prompt I send in to you in the podcast is a perfect example. I'm obviously using my voice as the mechanism for recording this, even though it's going to be sent to you as a transcript. And it's much quicker for me. And I think more important than just speed is that it's more fluid. I can kind of do other things. I can clean. I can mind my newborn son. And I really appreciate that fluidity that allows me to just kind of get away from the computer. And I mentioned it a few times, happy to self-identify as someone with ADHD. And sometimes I think with my brain type, it's when really, you know, there's this kind of stereotype of shower thoughts that you have your best thinking in the shower. And for me, it's sometimes when I actually just kind of get into those spaces, mental spaces or physical spaces where, I'm just away from the kind of pressure of having a screen in front of me, that I do some really good thinking and capture with my voice. So I think it's really something I've actually come to genuinely cherish and appreciate, voice technology as a really powerful force for that's been a force for good in my life. So with that kind of lengthy context in mind, I'd love to turn it over to you and let's talk about who is the stereotypical voice technology user this year. And the existence of these specialty firms selling sort of higher end dictation microphones, headsets, speaks to me to the fact that there is a market for this, and probably quite a specialist market. But I don't want to make assumptions based on what I think I know about voice tech. So beyond the kind of classic users like the radiologists, doctors, etc., who would you say are the most heavy users of speech recognition technology on the dawn of 2026, and what are the trends we're seeing in terms of adoption over the last few years with the rapid rise and maturity of ASR?
Welcome to My Weird Prompts. I'm Korn, and I'm here with Herman Bobbleberry. Today we're diving into something that's been quietly reshaping how people work and think, voice technology. Our producer, Daniel Rosehill, sent us a fascinating prompt about this, and honestly, it's got me thinking about how this technology has completely transformed from being this niche professional tool to something that's becoming mainstream tool to something that's becoming mainstream.
Yeah, and what's really interesting here is that the transformation is happening faster than most people realize. We're talking about a genuine paradigm shift in how humans interface with computers, and a lot of people still think of voice tech as something only radiologists and lawyers use.
Right, exactly. So let me set the stage here. The core question we're exploring is, who actually uses voice technology in 2024 and beyond? And more specifically, how is that user base changing now that tools like OpenAI's Whisper have made voice recognition actually usable?
That's the key phrase right there, actually usable. Because voice tech existed before, but it was frustrating. It was good enough to be interesting, but not good enough to be reliable. Whisper changed that equation.
So let's start with what we know about the current landscape. The research shows that OpenAI's user base is pretty diverse. We're talking 56% male, 44% female across their platform. But when we're specifically talking about voice technology adoption, the picture is even more interesting because it's not just one demographic anymore.
Hold on. I want to push back slightly on how we're framing this. The OpenAI demographic data is useful context, but it doesn't necessarily tell us who's actually using Whisper specifically for voice dictation workflows. The overall user base of ChatGPT or OpenAI's products is different from the people who've adopted voice-first workflows. We need to be careful not to conflate those two things.
Okay, fair point. But here's what I think is important. The fact that the user base is the diverse suggests that when Whisper came out, it wasn't just reaching the traditional voice tech crowd. It was reaching people who maybe never even considered voice as an input method before.
Absolutely, and that's the real story. The traditional voice technology users, your radiologists, your lawyers, your court stenographers, they had already adopted voice tech years ago. They had their workflows locked in. But Whisper opened the door for people like Daniel, who frankly had written off voice technology as a possibility because the Linux tools weren't good enough.
And that's such an interesting personal angle here. Daniel was dabbling with voice tech, found it frustrating, and basically gave up on it. Then Whisper comes along and suddenly he's reorganizing his entire workflow around voice input. That's not a marginal improvement, that's transformative.
Right, and I think what happened with Whisper is that it hit this magical threshold where accuracy went from pretty good, but you'll spend half your time correcting errors, to so accurate you can use it without thinking about it. That's the difference between a novelty and a genuine productivity tool.
So let's talk about the practical shift. Daniel went from voice notes for capturing information, like grocery lists and blog ideas, to actually voice typing across multiple platforms. Google Docs had voice typing for a while, but the accuracy wasn't there. Then he found this Chrome extension called Blavi, which uses Whisper under the hood.
And then he found an Android keyboard app, which means he's got voice input across his whole digital life now. That's the infrastructure that makes a voice-first workflow actually possible. You can't just have it on one platform, it needs to be everywhere.
Exactly. And here's where I think this gets really interesting. The use cases are completely different from what we traditionally think of as voice technology users. Daniel's using it for recording AI prompts, for capturing thoughts while he's doing other things, like cleaning or taking care of his newborn son. He mentions having ADHD, and voice technology gives him this fluidity, where he can step away from the screen and still capture ideas.
That's the insight that really matters. The traditional narrative around voice tech was always about efficiency, dictating faster than typing. But what Daniel's describing is something different. It's about cognitive freedom. It's about being able to think while moving, while doing other things, without the friction of having to sit down at a keyboard.
And he specifically mentioned shower thoughts, that stereotype about having your best ideas in the shower. For him, voice technology lets him capture those moments when his brain is most creative, but his hands are occupied or he's away from a screen.
Which actually connects to something we know about neurodivergent brains, including ADHD. There's research suggesting that movement and external input can enhance cognitive processing for some people. Voice technology, in this context, becomes almost therapeutic. It removes barriers instead of adding them.
But here's where I want to challenge something. Is this really as novel as we're making it sound? I mean, people have been using voice recorders forever. My grandpa had a dictaphone. What's actually different here?
Okay, I'd push back on that comparison. A dictaphone was a one-way tool. You recorded, you played it back, someone else transcribed it. What Whisper does is real-time, accurate transcription that integrates directly into your workflow. You're not recording for later processing, you're getting usable text immediately.
Fair point. But still, aren't we just talking about a faster transcription process? Is that really changing how people work?
I think you're underselling it. The speed and accuracy matter because they determine whether something enters your actual workflow or stays as a novelty. When you can dictate into Google Docs and get accurate text without corrections, that changes behavior. When you can use voice input on your phone's keyboard, that changes behavior. It's not just about transcription speed, it's about integration and reliability.
Okay, I see what you're saying. So it's not just faster, it's reliable enough to trust. That's a different threshold than I was thinking about.
Exactly. And that's why we're seeing this expansion beyond the traditional user base. The traditional voice tech users, radiologists, lawyers, they had to use voice because their hands were occupied or their jobs required it. They accepted some friction because the alternative was worse. But Whisper brings voice to people who don't have to use it. They choose to because it's genuinely better for their workflow.
So let's talk about the market response to this. Daniel mentions looking at specialty dictation microphone suppliers, companies that have been serving the traditional voice tech market for decades. And he's noticing something interesting about their marketing and their products.
Yes, and this is where it gets culturally fascinating. These companies have been serving radiologists, lawyers, court reporters for years. Their marketing imagery, their product positioning, it all reflects that audience. But now they're starting to see a much broader market interested in high-quality dictation microphones.
The interesting thing is that these specialty suppliers actually have really sophisticated products. We're talking about microphones with specific pickup patterns designed for dictation, USB foot pedals, professional-grade equipment. But the branding and the aesthetic still feel like they're from 1995.
Which is interesting because the technology is cutting edge, but the aesthetic and marketing haven't caught up to the changing user base. You've got someone like Daniel, a software developer, probably younger, tech-savvy, interested in AI, looking at these dictation microphone websites and seeing imagery that makes him think of lawyers and limousines.
There's a disconnect there. The product is modern, but the positioning feels stuck in the past. Do you think that's going to change?
It has to, because the market is changing. Look at the data. The dictation microphone market is competitive, with major players like Logitech, Philips, Sennheiser all competing. But they're still mostly targeting the traditional professional segments. As voice tech becomes more mainstream, there's an opportunity for these companies to rebrand and reposition for a new audience.
So, we're at this interesting inflection point, where the technology has caught up to the demand, but the marketing and positioning haven't adapted yet.
The specialty suppliers still look like they're serving lawyers and radiologists, but now they're also serving developers, students, people with neurodivergent brains who find voice input more natural. Right, and here's something I think is important. The market data shows that voice technology adoption is expected to grow significantly through 2025 and beyond. We're talking about AI integration, enhanced natural language processing, multi-channel use across business and consumer contexts. This isn't a niche anymore.
But I wonder if there's something we're missing here. The traditional voice tech users, radiologists, lawyers, they had formal training. They knew how to use a microphone properly, how to structure their dictation for transcription. Are we assuming that new users will just naturally adopt these practices?
That's a really good point, actually. You're right that there's a learning curve. But I think the difference is that with Whisper's accuracy, the learning curve is much shallower. You don't need perfect technique because the AI can handle variations in speech patterns, background noise to some degree, different accents and dialects. The barrier to entry is much lower.
Okay, but doesn't that mean we might see a lot of people trying voice tech, finding it works okay but not optimizing it? Like, they're getting 80% of the benefit, but could get 95% with better microphones and technique.
Probably true. But I'd argue that's fine. Not everyone needs to be a professional dictation user. For someone like Daniel, the fact that he can capture thoughts while doing other things is valuable even if he's not using optimal equipment. As more people adopt voice tech and find value in it, some of them will naturally move up market to better microphones and more sophisticated workflows.
So it's like a funnel. Whisper brings people in at the bottom with cheap or integrated solutions, and then some portion of them graduate to specialty microphones and more advanced setups.
Exactly. And that's actually good news for the specialty suppliers, even if they don't realize it yet. They've got an expanding addressable market. But they need to stop marketing exclusively to radiologists and start thinking about developers, students, creative professionals, people with ADHD, remote workers, all these new user segments that are discovering voice tech through Whisper.
Let's take a quick break from our sponsors.
Are you tired of your voice being ignored? Introducing Vocal Boost Pro. The revolutionary throat lozenge infused with quantum-enhanced vocal harmonics. Simply dissolve one lozenge and your voice becomes 40% more persuasive, 30% more authoritative, and 15% more authoritative and 15% more likely to be taken seriously in Zoom meetings. Users report that their dogs listen better, their partners actually hear them the first time, and their Alexa responds faster. Vocal Boost Pro. Because your voice deserves to be amplified, literally and figuratively. Side effects may include confidence, mild tingling, and an inexplicable urge to sing in public. BUY now.
Right, thanks, Larry. Anyway, where were we? Oh yeah, the expanding market for voice technology.
So let me ask you this. We know that voice tech is expanding beyond the traditional users, but what about accessibility? I feel like this is something we should talk about. Voice technology could be huge for people with mobility issues, visual impairments, or other disabilities.
That's a crucial angle that doesn't get enough attention. Voice input removes the barrier of having to use a keyboard and mouse. For someone with limited hand mobility, voice dictation is transformative. For someone who's blind or has low vision, voice input combined with text-to-speech creates a complete accessible workflow.
And Whisper is particularly good for this because of its accuracy across different speech patterns and accents. It's not trained on the standard American English assumption that older voice recognition systems had. It's more inclusive.
Absolutely. And that's actually one of the reasons we're seeing broader adoption. People discover voice tech for productivity reasons, like Daniel, but it also opens up possibilities for people who have accessibility needs. The same tool serves multiple purposes for different user groups.
So the traditional voice tech market was somewhat siloed, right? Radiologists had their tools, lawyers had theirs, different industries had specialized solutions. But Whisper is creating this unified platform where different user groups can converge.
Well, I'd be careful about saying unified. Whisper is the transcription engine, but the applications are still fragmented. You've got the Chrome extension, the Android keyboard app, various web-based tools, integrations into different platforms. It's more like the technology is unified, but the user experience is still fragmented. That's a fair distinction. So if you're someone new to voice tech, you have to figure out which tools to use for which contexts. That's a friction point.
Right. Whereas a radiologist with specialized medical dictation software has everything integrated into their workflow. The new voice tech users have to cobble together their own solution from different tools. As the market matures, I'd expect to see more integrated solutions that target specific user groups, not just professionals, but also students, remote workers, creative professionals.
And that brings us back to those specialty suppliers we were talking about. They have the expertise to create integrated solutions. They just need to update their thinking about who their customers are.
Exactly. The opportunity is there. The question is whether these companies can adapt their positioning and their product development to serve these new markets.
So, here's something I'm curious about. Daniel mentions that voice technology has been a force for good in his life. That's pretty strong language. Do you think that's typical, or is he an outlier?
I think it depends on the person's cognitive style and their workflow. For someone with ADHD, or someone who does a lot of creative thinking, voice input might genuinely be transformative. For someone else who prefers typing and finds voice input awkward, it might remain a novelty. We're not talking about a universal solution here.
But that's kind of the point, isn't it? Before Whisper, voice tech was forced on people because of their job requirements. Now it's something people choose because it works for them. That's a fundamental shift.
Yes, and I think that shift is going to continue. As voice technology becomes more reliable and more integrated into everyday tools, more people will discover that it works for them. We'll see continued growth in adoption, especially among younger people who are growing up with voice interfaces through smart speakers and phones.
But there's also the question of privacy and surveillance. Dictation requires sending audio to be transcribed. For Whisper, some implementations are local, but others send audio to servers. That's a privacy concern that the new wave of voice tech users might not be thinking about.
That's a really important point. And it's different from the traditional voice tech market, where privacy concerns were already baked into the system. Hospitals and law firms have HIPAA compliance, attorney-client privilege, things like that. But a developer recording AI prompts on their Android phone? They might not be thinking about where that audio is going.
So there's an education gap here. New voice tech users need to understand not just how to use the technology, but also the privacy and security implications.
Absolutely. And that's something that the companies building voice tech tools need to address. Transparency about data handling, local processing options, clear privacy policies. These things matter even more when you're expanding into new user segments.
All right. We've got a caller on the line. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, this is Jim from Ohio. I've been listening to you two go on about voice technology being this big revolution, and I gotta say, I think you're way overthinking it. My neighbor Rick has one of those voice assistant things, and half the time it doesn't understand him anyway. Also, we had a real cold snap here in Ohio last week, first time the pipes froze in 5 years, but that's beside the point. You guys are acting like voice tech is changing the world, when really it's just another gadget people will get tired of.
Well, I appreciate the feedback, Jim. But I think what's important here is that this isn't about voice assistants like Alexa or Google Home. This is about transcription accuracy for actual work.
Yeah, but it's the same thing, isn't it? Voice recognition. And like I said, it doesn't work that well. In my experience, this stuff is always overhyped.
I'd push back on that, Jim. What we're talking about with Whisper is genuinely different from what came before. The accuracy is significantly higher. We're talking 95% plus accuracy in many contexts. That's a meaningful threshold where it becomes actually usable for work.
Sure, sure. But people have been saying things like that for years. Remember voice recognition in the 90s? They said that was going to change everything too. And you know what? It didn't. I'm not buying that this time is different. Also, I had a really good meatloaf for dinner last night, and I'm still thinking about it. But my point stands. You're all getting excited about nothing.
I hear you, Jim. But the difference is that the technology really has improved dramatically. It's not just marketing hype, it's measurable, objective improvement in accuracy.
All right. You two have fun with your voice technology. I'm sticking with my keyboard. Works just fine. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in, Jim. Always appreciate your perspective.
So that's actually a good reality check. Jim represents a legitimate skepticism that exists out there. People had been disappointed by voice tech promises before.
Right, but I think the difference this time is real. The accuracy threshold has been crossed. It's not aspirational anymore. It's actually functional.
Agreed. And I think that's what will ultimately drive adoption. Not marketing hype, but genuine utility. When people try it and it actually works, they'll adopt it.
So let's talk about what this means for the future. We've got this expanding user base for voice technology. We've got specialty suppliers who are poised to serve new markets. We've got accessibility benefits that haven't been fully realized yet. What does the landscape look like in 2 or 3 years?
I think we'll see continued fragmentation in tools and solutions, but also consolidation around the most useful platforms. Google is going to integrate whisper-like capabilities more deeply into their products. Microsoft will do the same with their suite. The specialty suppliers will either adapt or get squeezed out.
But do you think there's room for new entrants? People who specifically build for the new voice tech user base rather than trying to serve the traditional professional markets?
Absolutely. There's an opportunity for startups to build voice-first tools, specifically for remote workers, students, creative professionals, people with accessibility needs. These are underserved markets right now.
And the interesting thing is that the infrastructure is already there. Whisper is open source and available. The pieces exist to build these applications. It's really about understanding the new user segments and building products that serve their specific needs.
Right? And I think we'll also see voice technology becoming more conversational and less purely transactional. Right now, voice input is mostly about capturing information. But as AI improves, voice interfaces will become more interactive. You'll be able to have a conversation with your computer, not just dictate to it.
That's a big shift. From voice as input method to voice as interaction method.
Exactly. And that opens up entirely new possibilities for how people work and think.
So, if you're listening to this and you've never tried voice dictation, especially with something like Whisper, what would you say is the most important thing to know?
I'd say don't judge it based on older voice recognition experiences. This is genuinely different. Try it for something low stakes, like taking notes or recording thoughts. See if it works for your brain and your workflow. If it does, great, you've discovered a new tool. If it doesn't, that's fine too. Not everything works for everyone.
And I'd add that it's worth thinking about your specific use case. If you do a lot of creative thinking, or if you're frequently away from a keyboard, or if you have accessibility needs, voice technology might be particularly valuable. The key is finding the right tool and workflow for you.
And don't feel like you need to go all in with expensive microphones and specialized software. Start simple, see what works, and then invest in better tools if you find yourself using voice dictation regularly.
That's good practical advice. We've covered a lot of ground here. The history of voice technology, the transformation brought by Whisper, the expanding user base beyond traditional professionals, the market opportunities for specialty suppliers, the accessibility benefits, the privacy considerations. This is genuinely a moment where technology is shifting how people work.
And I think what's really interesting is that this shift is happening not because of top-down mandates or marketing campaigns, but because the technology has finally reached a threshold where it's genuinely useful. People are discovering voice tech on their own and adopting it because it works.
That's the kind of organic adoption that tends to be most sustainable. When people choose a tool because it solves a real problem, rather than because someone told them to use it.
Absolutely. And that's why I think we're going to see continued growth in voice technology adoption. It's not a fad, it's a genuine shift in how humans interface with computers.
Well, thanks so much for exploring this with me today, Armin. And thanks to our producer, Daniel, for sending in such a rich and thoughtful prompt about voice technology. If you're listening and you're curious about this stuff, I'd really encourage you to try it out. Give Whisper or one of the voice typing tools a shot and see if it works for your workflow.
And if you've got thoughts on voice technology, or if you're already using it in interesting ways, we'd love to hear from you. You can send prompts to the show, and who knows, maybe we'll discuss your idea in a future episode.
You can find My Weird Prompts on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you. Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts,
an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.